This is Cincinnati Edition. Good morning, I'm Mark Purcell. She's at the top of the game when it comes to social media marketing, and she's based right here in Cincinnati. Krista Nair of Bootcamp Digital will be in the studio to offer tips from her book, Visual Social Media Marketing. That's in about 20 minutes. And later, Dr. Thomas Nestrick from Xavier University will be here to tell you about next Friday's Remarkable Families Symposium at Xavier, offering help to families with children with special needs. Cincinnati Council will hold two public hearings this week to discuss a plan to lease some of the city's parking garages and meters. WVXU's City Council reporter Jay Hanselman talks with Marianne Zalesnik about the plan.
Good morning, Jay. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
Okay, so this parking lease agreement involves several partner members. Tell us who's involved and the terms of the lease, how it all works out.
Well, there are four companies that are involved, and they formed a company called Park Sensi, and they're partnering with the Port of Greater Cincinnati Development Authority. And the port essentially is going to act as the lessee or the owner of the project. A company called AEW will be the asset manager, and they'll be responsible for overseeing the parking assets. And then a company called Xerox, and it's not the copier people. Xerox is actually going to be in charge of the day-to-day operation of the on-street or the metered parking. A firm called Denison Parking is going to handle the day-to-day operation of the off-street parking. That would be the parking garages and the parking lots. And then Guggenheim is going to be the underwriter and the capital provider for the plan. The city will get $92 million up front, and that will be financed through bonds that will be issued by the Port Authority, and Guggenheim will actually be buying those bonds. And then the city will also get an annual payment that's estimated to start around $3 million a year, and then that could increase over time. This group has pledged to invest $98 million for capital improvements to the city's parking facilities, and that will include a new garage on Sycamore Street. And they're also going to install more of those popular electronic parking meters that take credit cards that have been installed right now primarily in the downtown area. The lease will last for 30 years for the meters, and it will be 50 years for the lots and garages, and the upgraded parking system will return to the city at the end of those lease terms. Something that the city manager pointed out, there will be local control over all future decisions, and that will include the location, the removal and addition of any parking meters, plus decisions about rates and operating hours. The partners, they will be paid with fees that are negotiated in the lease agreement. The manager also pointed out that there are operating standards in the agreement, and if the city doesn't like something that's something that's happening, they can terminate the agreement at any time if those terms aren't substantially met.
Now, one of the biggest concerns that a lot of folks have about all of this, the city turning this over for a while, is what the rates are going to be. What's going to happen with rates?
Well, first off, let's point out again, the private operator, according to the manager, has no authority to set the rates. That'll be decided locally. And the rates will not increase until the technology upgrades are complete. So that includes installing these new electronic meters in all areas. For on-street or metered parking in the downtown area, the rate initially is going to stay at the $2 per hour. In the neighborhood areas, it will increase to 75 cents an hour once the new meters are put in. Off-street parking in lots and garages, no initial change to that first hour or for monthly rates. There will be some adjustments in what's called the middle hours, or parking in that range of, say, 2 to 8 hours. And officials say those rates will increase closer to but still be below market rates for the city. And then future rate increases are capped at the greater of 3% a year or whatever the consumer price index is for that year. And the metered rates can only increase in 25-cent increments. So, for example, a 3% a year for the downtown metered, that could take 3 or 4 years to reach up to that 25 cents. So that way you don't have to worry about putting in $2.06 or $2.12. They're going to keep it in quarter increments. Obviously, for the neighborhoods, that'll take even longer since it's starting out at 75 cents an hour.
Now, I know I've enjoyed the free parking on Sundays. Is that going to remain? What hours are these meters going to be active?
Sundays and holidays will remain free, and that popular 10 minutes for free, you know, where you can push the button and, you know, just run into a business real quickly, that will remain, only it could be reduced. It's only going to be in areas with businesses. It will not necessarily be all meters, and those meters will be clearly marked that they have that 10 minutes for free. Otherwise, there is a change downtown. The meters will be in effect from 8 in the morning until 9 in the evening downtown. That is a change. Right now, the meters stop at 5 o'clock in the evening. And then the neighborhood meters, they would be in effect from 7 in the morning until 9 in the evening.
Now, if somebody is there too long, doesn't put any money in or use their credit card, what happens to them?
Parking tickets will still be issued, and employees with Xerox, again, that's the firm that's going to take care of the day-to-day operation of the metered parking, They will be able to write parking tickets. The Cincinnati Police Department will still be able to write tickets. And if you accumulate at least 3 unpaid parking tickets, you may come out and find that there has been a boot placed on your vehicle, which essentially makes it undrivable.
Sort of locks around a wheel.
It locks on, I think the picture I saw was on the front wheel of a vehicle. And so what do? You come out and find this boot on your vehicle. Well, the nice thing is you will be able to use your smartphone to pay your unpaid tickets. And when you do that, the technology will immediately release that boot on your vehicle. And then you've got 24 hours to return it to some place that that they will determine. That's a little bit easier now than if, you know, you have unpaid parking tickets. You could come out and find that your car has been towed. And then that you go to the trouble then to find out where it's towed. And it's obviously a lot more expensive to retrieve it from the city impound lot than just paying these unpaid tickets and releasing that boot.
Now, many have pointed to Chicago, and they've done something similar with parking, and they say it's just been a bad example of how this whole outsourcing of city parking has gone. How does what's happening in Cincinnati compare to Chicago?
Again, you're right. A lot of people say, oh, Chicago, bad example. And the city manager says there are lots of differences between the city's plan and what happens in Chicago. First of all, Cincinnati has public control of the system through the Port Authority. Chicago's rests with a private infrastructure fund. Cincinnati's system will be returned to the city in 50 years at the end for the parking lots and garages in Chicago. That's 99 years. Cincinnati gets an upfront payment plus annual payments. Chicago received just one large upfront payment, and that's it. Cincinnati's rate control is public. Chicago's is private. And in Cincinnati, the hours at the parking meters we talked about are limited. And in Chicago, it can be up to 24 hours a day that they can enforce the parking meters.
Now, you talk about this money, this upfront payment, $92 million the city is supposed to get with this deal. How is that going to be spent? I mean, do they have plans for it already?
They do have plans. And the city manager was clear when he introduced this proposal last December that when he came back with this plan, he would say, here's how we're going to spend it. So about half of it would be used to stabilize and balance the city's general fund budget through fiscal year 2015. Some of that would also go into the city's reserve accounts, and then they would also increase the city's contribution to the troubled retirement system. Now, it would not get it to where it needs to be, but it would be an increase. And then essentially the rest is being used for economic development projects, and that includes building an interchange at I-71 and Martin Luther King Drive. If for some reason that plan fell apart, the city would use the money that was to go to that project for what the manager calls a mega economic development project in the uptown area. There's also money to redo Tower Place Mall and convert the old Pogue's Garage at 4th and Race into that 30-story mixed-use high-rise with a grocery store for the downtown area. The city would buy the Watson Line right-of-way. That would be a bike trail that would benefit Evanston, Hyde Park, Xavier, and Mount Lookout, plus Oakley. And then there would also be money to continue work on the Smale Riverfront Park.
Now, it's up to council, of course. In order for this to happen, they have to approve the measure. But let's say that that goes through and they do approve it. What can voters do if they'd like to see that decision reversed? Can they do anything?
Well, mayoral candidate John Cranley has told other media outlets that if council approves the proposed lease agreement, he'll collect petition signatures to put the issue on the November ballot. But the way council approves the measure could make that impossible. Council will have to pass an ordinance to enact the lease agreement, and if it contains an emergency clause, which means it takes effect right away, it's not subject to a voter referendum, and the city solicitor confirmed that for me last week. And you also have to watch the council votes. It takes 5 yes votes to approve the lease, but 6 yes votes to pass the emergency clause, and at least one council member who may vote against the deal has told me he will vote for the emergency clause. So if the emergency clause is part of the ordinance, it will likely be approved.
And as we wrap up here, starting tomorrow, public hearings this week.
There's a public hearing tomorrow night at City Hall starting at 6 o'clock and another one on Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. I think that hearing is going to be at City Hall, but as of right now, that hasn't been determined.
Jay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jay Hanselman is WVXU City Hall reporter. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Marianne Zalesnik.